Wonderful. Welcome to the homily studio for Sunday, the 15th of February, which is the sixth Sunday in ordinary time. Wherever you are listening, you are welcome. We don't consider you to be just listeners, but you are participants in the conversation, and you may well have your own conversations about these scriptures as a result of this conversation with people you know. And especially if you are the preacher this weekend, you get a chance to say something about these scriptures. Who do we have in the conversation today?
Lucien from Wellington. I work in the Archdiocese, married and a mother of three.
And kia ora, I am Kushra O'Connor. I work in the Diocese of Christchurch as a religious education advisor, married with four adult children and four beautiful grandchildren.
Hi, I'm John Kinder. I'm a Palmerston North boy. I've lived most of my life in Western Australia, but I'm actually speaking to you from Palmerston North because I'm here visiting my 92-year-old mum. So it's nice to be in the same time zone.
Does your mum listen to the homily studio, John?
She does. She does. She loves it. And some of her mates do as well. It's just kind of a subversive thing happening in Palmerston North.
I was actually with someone just a few days ago, and they said that John Kinder, who you have on the homily studio, his mother doesn't live in Palmerston North, does she? And I said, well, actually, she does.
There are no
so
secrets.
Your mother is known even more than you. In a moment of prayer, wherever you are listening, be still and silent, knowing that whatever your reality and the reality of those you love, God is present in the midst of that. It's not that we have to change the circumstances to create a space that God likes. God likes our reality, and that's where we encounter Christ. That's the whole message of the Incarnation. And we pray in the opening prayer, the entrance antiphon, be my protector, O God, a mighty stronghold to save me, for you are my rock, my stronghold. Lead me, guide me, for the sake of your name. Amen. There'll be a lot of people gathering for the liturgy that want to hear, that want to pray, be my protector, O God, a mighty stronghold to save us. Okay, now we've lost John somewhere, a bad connection in Palmerston North, but it's great that they even have the internet in Palmerston North. We had Teresa last week who was in Palmerston North and the connection was fine. So, Lucien Kushner, you get your chance to get a word in now before John comes back.
Okay, well, what do I think about these readings? They're quite challenging, aren't they? Jesus, I think, is in calling us to a radical authenticity, you know, like as in, do my actions speak louder than my words? And I was at an opening mass today at one of our secondary colleges, and the priest that said the mass it reminded me of these readings. He said, you know, we've got these commandments back in the day, you know, the fact they put these rules around them. And then they sort of manipulated the rules to suit themselves. And I have to challenge myself when I read these readings for Sunday, I am challenged to be authentic and to live out the words more than just say them.
Yeah. Great, Kushla. John, welcome back. We just said that you'd vanished. You're mute at the moment, John. So it's good that you are back. And I've just said to Kushra and Lucien that they'll have a chance now to have their say before you get done. So, Lucien.
Well, they're beautiful readings, challenging indeed. But also, you know, God has given us free will, and he's also given us the desire and the ability to actually be in his will. So I think my favorite reading today is the psalm, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. And I think that's what I want to, that's what I'm holding in my heart today. It is about following the law, and yet it is a law that brings us blessing and joy.
Yeah, exactly, Lucien, the psalm was, for me, is the center of these readings, because they're all about law And law, of course, is something we have to obey. And if we don't, there's a punishment, right? So that's what laws are. But the psalm tells us that if we follow the law of the Lord, we will be blessed or happy. And for me, actually, the starting point of these readings is the first reading, because the first reading speaks to me about freedom. And it reminds me that in the face of the law of God, I am free, 100% free. You know, if you wish, this translation of mine says, you can keep the commandments, which is a surprise to me because actually I don't think I can. I'm not good enough. But if you wish, you can. God has set fire and water before you. Put your hand out to whichever you prefer. Man has life and death before him. Whichever a man likes better will be given him. So in my relationship to the law that God's given me, the bottom line is always that I'm 100% free. Now, I'm not free because I can do whatever I want to do. I'm free because God made me free. He's made me like this. He's given me absolute freedom because he wants me to come to him, or not to, he wants me to respond to him freely. Yep. And so it's beautiful that the law that we're offered is not an imposition, it's an invitation. Mm-hmm. And it's an invitation between grown-ups where we're completely free at every step.
John, I love the way that you've said, we are free, I am free, because mm-hmm. God has given me freedom. Like the protagonist in this is God. And so often we focus on ourselves, you know, I want to be free. I need to work harder so that I can experience freedom, but it is a gift. And in the same way, you know, that wonderful Ecclesiasticus reading begins with, if you wish, you can keep the commandments. And we say, well, actually, I try and I can't. Mm-hmm. But we can keep the commandments because God has given us the ability to live in this way. And in fact, the law, you know, we often have this fairly negative idea of law. When we hear the siren behind us when we're driving the car, you know, we're not happy with the law. But in fact, the only reason that I feel okay about getting into my car this morning and driving is that there are laws of the road that enable us to live and move together and get from A to B. So the law is a beautiful thing. And I often think that when Moses came down the mountain and the people said, what have you got there, Moses? And he said, I've got the law. We imagine their reactions, oh no, not rules. But in fact, their reaction would have been, where's this from? It's from God. Wow, this is wonderful. This is a communication from God. We need this. Mm-hmm. And when they read, have one God and do not steal and do not commit adultery and honor your elders, people would have thought, ah, that's what we haven't been doing. That's why we're such a mess. Thank you, God, for giving us the driver's manual for the human person. Like, this is really helpful. And I think when we reflect on law, we have to see it in that light, because that's in fact what it is, a positive gift from God.
Yeah, I like that first reading too, John, and the contrasts I saw in it. You know, I set before you fire and water, whichever you choose. I set before you good and evil, and whichever you choose. And so what I took from that was the challenge of whatever I choose, I've got to put that into action. So if I choose good, you know, I might need to reach out to the other. I might need to make that apology that I've been holding off on and not living. You know, I might need to reach out to the other, make a phone call, get in touch with somebody that I haven't been in touch with. So I am free to do those things. And if I am going to, as it says in the psalm, what was it again? Lost the piece of paper now that we enter from, you know, to live the law of the Lord, you've got to put it into action.
But, you know, when I think about that, I just come up against my limitations. And again, in this, we haven't even got to the gospel yet, but I guess we'll get to it. But the psalm, like the last verse of the psalm, speaks to me at my particular where I am at the moment. The last verse here says, "Teach me the demands of your statutes, so that I can keep them to the end. Train me to observe your law, so I can keep it with my heart." In other words, if I want to keep the law and follow faithfully, the first thing I have to do is ask, teach me, train me. Mm-hmm. The first thing is not for me to go and get spiritual muscles and do lots of very, very good things, prayer and contemplation. That's all very good. But that what the psalm tells me is that if I want to do these things, the first thing I've got to do is ask for the for the strength, for the wisdom, for the insight. It's not something I can get by myself. And by what the psalm says is I don't need to stress about how good I am or how anything else. I've got to ask. That helps me to put me back in that position of being, you know, a loved creature of a loving creator.
And what a great point to realize, John, what a great point to realize on the Sunday before Lent. So in a few days, we have Ash Wednesday, but so often we think about Lent as the time when I am disciplined, when I do more, when I try harder, forgetting that that the position that we need to take is in fact our human default setting, which is my need. I am a need. And when I'm in healthiest, I'm not fighting against the need or trying to stuff the need with all kinds of other things or satisfy or anesthetize the need. What I'm doing is calling out from that need, an authentic call in the direction of the only one who can answer my need. So the disposition that perhaps we can practice in these days before Lent begins and then for the weeks of Lent is of a humble, gentle neediness, calling out as the beggars to the one who is wanting to provide all. And that neediness is, of course, a disposition of openness to receive. And that's what the Pharisees didn't have. Like they were doing okay mostly and needed a bit of a hand every now and then. But in fact, we are needy. We are the beggars. I'm sorry, I interrupt Kushla, I think.
No, you didn't interrupt me at all. No, I noticed in the gospel reading that, you know, you've heard that it is said, but I say to you, that's repeated two or three times in there, I think. I think he's that call of God, you know, Jesus is saying to me, it's, you know, you are, or I am calling you. I'm calling you to do these things, to be challenged, to constantly challenge myself, actually, to put things into place that are reaching out to the other.
Mm-hmm.
All of those reasons are challenging me to do that.
Yes, and I think they're also a challenge to live deeper. You know, we've got the first reading about the choices we can make. We talked about how we approach Lent. I think we also can approach it with a quiet confidence, because while in the psalm, in my translation, that last line says, "Give me discernment that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart." In the second reading, then, I think it says, it talks about the wisdom that God has revealed to us. So we have that quiet confidence that God reveals the wisdom that we need. We ask for discernment, and God reveals to us that wisdom. And I think if I had to add, I've never done this before, but I thought of one word I'd like to add to the psalm. And I would say, in my translation, it says, "Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord." I would say, "Blessed are they who freely follow the law of the Lord." because it's not about the compulsion to do, you know, to obey the rules and to do what we feel we have to do, but is that desire to actually live in the way that God calls us to live in freedom.
And Lucy, and without knowing it or intending to, you've segued very beautifully into Food for Faith for Lent, the daily reflections. And I've decided that this year I'm going to take a bit of a theme that will keep coming up each day, and that is in different with the overall topic, go deeper, live more deeply. I don't know the exact words I'll use yet. I'll decide that in the next couple of days. But and it's based on that, you know, if your virtue goes no deeper than the superficial scribes and Pharisees, well, you won't experience life in the kingdom. Like it won't. It'll feel like hard work. But when we go deeper, we realize that in that place of depth, again, we realize our default setting, which we are, each of us, a capacity. And that's the beautiful thing about who we are. We are a capacity for the divine. We're not full little complete gifts that we present to the divine expecting a reward, but we are a capacity. And that capacity is a beautiful thing. And when we go deeper, we can see it. We realize that, we experience that. We receive that.
Yeah, I think it's good that you've led us to the gospel, Lucien. it's the gospel. It's this week. It's like it's the kind of climax or the sort of the end point of all the other readings all come together in the gospel. It's like Jesus is saying, "You have freedom. You know, God's greatest gift to you is your freedom. Now, I'm inviting you to use your freedom to live the law in a different way. You know, so far you've been told by the scribes and Pharisees, the law is a series of boxes which you tick. You know, you must not kill. I haven't killed anyone. Tick. Great. Fine. Going to heaven. But Jesus says, okay, you've ticked the box, but it's not about ticking boxes. It's about your heart and how you're using your freedom. So anyone who is angry with his brother will answer for it before the court. But I'm thinking, being the person I am, I have a box ticking tendency, I might say, have I been angry with any of my brothers? And no, tick, great, going to heaven. But Jesus, I think, would say, that's good, but have you said a crossword to your wife in the last 7 days? Oh, damn. But even if I get through a week without that, he'd say, have you had cross thoughts about that person in your parish or who rubbed you up the wrong way? So it's each box you tick, Jesus is saying, fine, now you're free. You're an adult. Go deeper, go deeper, go deeper.
Right at the beginning of this recording, before you got cut off, John, I was inviting you to say a word about the book that you've just published, and I've begun to read, The Canon of Ancona. And I know you've been working on it for a long time, and it's a. But I wanted to give you a chance to say something about it, like this. You know, if you were using this Martelli's life as a way of communicating something about faith, who is this guy? Raffaele Martelli, have I got it right?
That was beautiful. Gosh, your Italian's really improving. It's great. There's hope for us all. So Father Martelli, he's this Italian. He was a seminary professor. He had a golden career mapped out for him, but he was a passionate Italian nationalist. So he went to war as a military chaplain and got in big trouble. Big trouble. So he decided to, at the age of 42, he had what we would call a crisis. And he said, I need to learn how to become a priest again. At 42. So he became a missionary. And he came to Western Australia when it was basically a desert with a few people on the edge of the ocean. And he lived there for 30 years in humility. And he was invited to become a bishop. And he refused everything. He just wanted to work with the people. And there are a couple of things that I've learned a lot by journeying with this guy as I was writing the book. The first is that everything he did went bad, because somebody got in his way. The bishop got in his way, The politicians got in his way. Something went wrong. It was just so frustrating, but he kept going. And the second thing is, he had to learn obedience. He had to learn to follow, like the law of the Lord. And he was a very smart guy, like he's very intelligent. And I remember reading his letters, because there's lots of letters of his that have survived. And he's writing these letters about the bishop, say, or some other priest who's being a bit unreasonable. And I'm thinking to myself, say no, put these guys in their place, use your intelligence and tell them the way things are. And what he does is he says, I obey. And I will pray for my bishop. I'll pray for my friends. I obey. And from it drove me crazy. I'm thinking, man, break out. But you know, like, but he's using his freedom to choose to follow, because he knew that with all his intelligence and all his, he's not the center of the world. And it's not even that the bishop is smarter than him. The bishop's the bishop. The bishop's for him, I don't want to talk about bishops, but Martelli is interesting because he knows everything he does only makes sense in the bigger picture of the church and God's plan for him. Sorry, John, I could talk all day about this, but
I know you could. And I'm actually thinking, I think we should do an interview and I about the book, because I want to hear more, and I know a lot of people do. But isn't it interesting that as you're talking about everything that he touched turned to, what do we say, custard, mustard? Isn't that like Christ? Like, this is the life of Christ. Everything Christ did, sure, one day 4,000, 5,000 people came to hear him. But the end of 3 years of full-time ministry, Christ had around him the group of closest friends, who included the denier, the betrayer, the three who fell asleep, the others who ran away. And look, I think I know that there is extraordinary hope for us as we enter Lent, that very often we try to define our existence based on our successes and our achievements, but that's not Christ, but that's not Martelli. Koshla, you were about to say something earlier before we...
I don't know what I was going to say. It's gone. But, I'm fascinated. I want to listen to that interview as well, John, because I liked what you said, John, in relation to Martelli, is it? The freedom to choose to follow. The freedom to choose to follow. Not just going through the motions and following the law, but the freedom to go that... go deeper, the courage to go deeper. And I know what I was going to say. At this opening school mass today, you'd be very pleased, John, Father John, because the priest there challenged the young people to go deeper into their heart and not just be looking at the rules, but go really deeper into their heart, not be flippant about it, and just pick up one thing that they will have the courage to do, responding to God, responding to Jesus's call. And I thought that was a pretty good message to start the year with.
Great. Let's give him an affirmation. Who was it, Koshla?
It was Father Rick at Rick Loughlin at Marian College. It was really great. I could have, you know, it was nice and succinct and to the point. And he just, you know, he was talking about the gospel today, excuse me, and then said, this is what you've got to do. Don't be flippant. Okay.
Rick, if you're listening, take that as an affirmation.
Okay. People.
It's a great message for us all as we enter into Lent. Yeah.
Well, what are our take homes?
I think it's the freely choosing, you know, asking as we enter Lent for the grace to freely choose to follow.
Oh, and I want to link that to John's example of Martelli's freely choosing. So we often think that freedom, like if the boss or the bishop, I don't mean the boss, I mean the bishop for a priest, says to do this, and I don't want to do it, and I don't think it's a good idea, saying yes can be a free choice, a healthy, free choice. It's not that we're living under a thumb. It's that we are freely choosing to cooperate with something that we may not understand, but we know to be much bigger than ourselves. Freely choosing. Right. Kushla.
That's for me too, that freely choosing based on that first reading, you know, you've got all those contrasts there. And I have been given the gift of free will to choose to either follow or not follow. And as we come into, you know, enter into Lent, you know, praying that I do listen and follow freely.
And my take home would build on those two, because that's beautiful. And that is the response to the psalm that, you know, Lucien began this. My translation says, happy are they who follow the law of the Lord. If I freely choose to recognize that I'm a creature loved by the Creator who brought me into being, if I freely choose that and follow the law of the Lord, I will be happy.
Wow, I love this. This is powerful. I'm thinking through my Lent already, inspired by all of this. I love the last line of the gospel, and it may well be the one line that people hear before the gospel of the Lord. Say yes if you mean yes, and no if you mean no. Yes or no. It's very simple. Yes or no. And I do sometimes think of the angel appearing to Mary. Like, did when the angel said, look, this is what God is doing with you, did Mary have to discern yes or no? And the answer is no, she didn't have to. She had, her whole life was that discernment. So once she knew it was God, and she went through a little bit of trying to work out, how can this be? You know, is this God? You know, once she knew it was God, the answer is yes. And if it's not God, the answer is no. And I think we often think that our lives of faith is really very complex and difficult and trying to work things out. No, relax. It's very easy. Yes or no. And sometimes I say to people, groups of people, have you got faith? And their answer is usually yes, but no, no buts. Yes or no. Have you got faith? Yes or no. And the answer is then yes. Ah, it's enough. Thank you. Great conversation. And we're interested too in your own conversations as you're listening, your own thoughts and reflections. Please feel free to add that to the website. John, I'm going to add the Canon of Ancona. Let's pray in the words of the opening prayer, the collect for this Sunday, we pray. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all very much.